It is always tough to follow Sam Cooke.
I'll tell you that, Sam.
When this service was originally scheduled a couple of weeks ago, I planned to lighten things up within our global pandemic with a homily about the annual ritual of graduation, about the pride of achieving a hard-won goal and that joy of robed scholars and mortarboards spinning in the air. When this service was scheduled weeks ago, I was going to deliver a quoted passage of poetry from Jim Harrison, who wrote, "Going to the bar last Sunday night, I noticed that they were having high school graduation down the street. Caps and gowns, June, mayflies fresh from the channel, fluttering in the warm, still air. After a few drinks, I felt jealous and wanted someone to say, 'Best of luck in your chosen field,' or 'The road of life is ahead of you.' Now imagine the poet at the bar feeling jealous because of the fresh-faced graduates. They're hearing over and over, 'The road of life is ahead of you.' Now I have two young nephews, both happen to be graduating this June, one in Georgia and one in Washington State, one graduating from high school, the other graduating from college. One nephew graduating in a state where yet another unarmed black man, a 25-year-old named Ahmed Arbery, was killed by white men who were not arrested for weeks. The other nephew graduating into a state where the first known deaths from COVID-19 in the U.S. were located, where it was the first national hotspot. Now, my nephews have never met each other, and yet they share a similar experience in the month of their graduation, that the country that they're graduating into is quite literally under siege. Now, I met both of these young men when they were just babies, and I actually can't say that I know them very well. What I can say is that I'm saddened, I'm ashamed, and I am deeply disappointed by the country that I have helped shape for them to enter. I and we're not doing a very good job. Name your crisis. Name your urgency. Name your injustice. Here's a quick list of 10 in no particular order. Global climate change, systemic racism, state-sanctioned violence, wealth inequality, housing insecurity, food insecurity, sexual violence, environmental racism, healthcare reform, LGBTQ rights. Now, if given the opportunity and a legal pad, I am absolutely certain that this congregation of engaged citizens could swiftly brainstorm hundreds of other urgent, burning issues to add to this list. Hundreds of issues. And let me start that secondary list at the top in a bold black Sharpie. Uncontrolled, unregulated, and greed-drunk capitalism that chews up the body and spits out the bones. Now, there are plenty of reasons to be profoundly pissed off. And the protests and the riots throughout the country and around the world indicate that there are millions upon millions of people who are profoundly pissed right now. And for good reason. For good reason, they're taking to the streets in the midst of a global pandemic when health experts advise that we stay 6 feet apart from each other. And here we are, gathered in our virtual Unitarian Universalist sanctuary, a place where we come to find solace and sustenance and sense, to move forward into our communities, to take those next steps on the road of life, both individually and as a community. And yet, we sit here, profoundly pissed off, stewing, stir crazy in some version of stay home, stay safe orders, trying to figure out what to do, to actually do, to make things better, to make this world a better place than it currently is for huge swaths of humanity, to move the dial, as it were. Now, I want to believe, actually need to believe, that this religion that we are practicing, this sublime, creedless religion that leverages the brain and the heart and the hands as spiritual tools is a force for good in the world, that Unitarian Universalism helps create and construct the world that we actually want to live in, to thrive in, to flourish in, this world, not the future heavenly realm that requires a savior to get there, this world, this country, this place, the places that we all call home, the places and the people living in those places, pleading for our best selves to take care of them. And the world that is burning and rioting and protesting and needs a systemic exorcism and radical reimagination. And the way that I see it, the goal of this sublime, creedless religion is to bring out your best self in this complicated and complex world, because this world needs your best self. And when this religion shines within you, you inspire the world to bring out their best self. Now consider our first and founding and grounding principle, the one we called for during the lighting of the chalice, the inherent worth and dignity of every person, as in every person. Now I love that this principle does not say all people, which a phrase which brings to mind a mass of humanity or a packed football stadium, but rather the principle is intentionally specific. It's sharp, and it focuses on every person. This principle sees the face of every person, sees the face and knows the name and calls for us to recognize this person's worth and dignity. This person, and this person, and this person, each with a face, each with a name. George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery. Now, when I think about the first principle, I think about my favorite quote from the Dalai Lama, who said, "My true religion is kindness." Now, some people that I've talked to about that quote, they dismiss it as so much pink snowflake unicorn sparkle dust, and I respectfully disagree. Kindness, they say. Now, to truly cultivate being kind, as in your very being is kind, takes practice and work and consistency, and your kindness will be tried and strained and exercised when confronting a burning world, the one that's drenched with vicious, pernicious problems. I think that kindness, practicing kindness, should be the fundamental activity of a Unitarian Universalist, because kindness creates the conditions in which people's worth and dignity shine. So I want to be shoulder to shoulder with the Dalai Lama, who has lived through some wretched situations born of imperial politics, and practice his true religion and make it my true religion, our true religion. And I mentioned kindness as a backdrop to a conversation that I had a few Sundays back. And it's a conversation that just rattled me to the core. I had reason to be on a conference call with some young people, and we, of course, talked about the protests and the riots and the looting that had been flaring up around the country. Now, two of the folks on the call, both of whom grew up as UUs, each had attended a rally that day in two separate major American cities. They spoke of how inspirational and powerful the experiences were. They were fired up, were filled with energy and purpose to end racism, to create justice, to dismantle both the police state and the prison industrial complex, and replace them with systems much more humane. Systems rooted in basic human decency. Systems that focused on, as primary goals, proper housing, proper health care, good education, meaningful employment. Essentially, to create a society so healthy and just that police and prison become less and less relevant. Radical reimagination. Now, I grew up and I live in a society where police officers have always carried weapons that could unleash lethal force. I currently live in a town where the local state park is patrolled by armed rangers in bulletproof vests. I live in a country where I could waltz into a gun shop and buy a military-grade machine gun and call this my God-given constitutional right. Don't like my machine gun? Go read the Second Amendment and then back up one and read the first. Now, our society, it's armed to the teeth. And I remember in the late 1980s walking down Telegraph Avenue in Berkeley, California, with an exchange student from Scotland. We came within eyeshot of an armed police officer who was nonchalantly walking. Now, my new Scottish friend was a brilliant young scholar who went on to work for the BBC as a radio journalist and then as a television director. He said that he was affronted and appalled by a police officer, that police officer being sanctioned by government to carry firearms so openly, as in that gun on that hip, because such a sight in Scotland at the time was incredibly rare. It was eye-opening for me. Perhaps it is the case that an armed police officer strolling a city street in broad daylight should be a rare sight. I'd never considered that before. Maybe we should be disappointed with the situation because it's primary evidence that we're falling short as a society in creating living, vibrant communities with proper housing, proper health care, good education, meaningful employment for every person. Now, the challenge, of course, is trying to achieve each and all of these actual conditions for every person is dismissed by most holding political powers, so much pink snowflake unicorn sparkle dust. Now that said, as a religious person, I think of Cornel West's pointed words, quote, "Never forget that justice is what love looks like in public. Never forget that justice is what love looks like in public. The justice of proper housing, proper health care, good education, meaningful employment for every person. A true religion is kindness." Now, in that teleconference that I was on, one of the young women relayed that the protest that she had attended, violence had broken out. And she was talking on the phone from the safety of her apartment, but she could smell burning rubber, and she could see police helicopters hovering nearby. Now, she did not know whether looting or riots were taking place. "Riots," I said. "Riots. Riots aren't good for anything. Mobs, they're irrational by definition. And if and when their energy turns violent, people can get indiscriminately hurt." It was a long, long pause. "I don't know," she said. "I think looting and riots make a huge statement, and that people who need to hear might finally hear. If looting and riots work to change the system, a system built on the violent oppression of Black and brown people, then I'm all for riots." Now, the voice uttering that sentence belong to a Unitarian Universalist. "We may have to respectfully disagree on this point," I said. "I cannot abide riots." And then, of course, the conversation led to the comparison between Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, the historical and passionate embodiments of two distinct and conflicting tactics and worldviews during the civil rights movement: violence, nonviolence. And then the young woman spoke again. "Well, maybe Martin Luther King is held up as a shining example because the system wants everyone to behave," she said. "Maybe Malcolm X was right." Again, the voice uttering that sentence belonged to a Unitarian Universalist. She was saying these words, using breath made from air that was befouled with the smell of burning rubber. and I listened. Now, the original intent of this homily was to approximate a graduation speech, to provide some inspiration, to celebrate accomplishments, to move forward in the world with a light heart and a focused mind. And rather, we smell burning tires. In this time, when so many people are calling for action, wondering what is effective, anguished about where our world and our country is going, how to move forward with purpose and attention, let's close with a poem by W.S. Merwin. It's called Place. We all live in a place called this place. And amidst all the fervent calls for systemic change, let us also be mindful that our call is to make our place, this place, healthier and more just through real world actions, specific, nameable actions in the face of a burning world. Place by W.S. Merwin. On the last day of the world, I would want to plant a tree. What for? Not the fruit. The tree that bears the fruit is not the one that was planted. I want the tree that stands in the earth for the first time, with the sun already going down, the water touching its roots, in the earth full of the dead, and the clouds passing, one by one, over its leaves. Please, figure out what your tree is and plant it in your place today, this morning. The world needs your best self. It needs your tree now more than ever. Amen.